All right, fans, we are live on your Friday night right here on the Russell Gennon podcast. If you're joining us, we're on YouTube.com/WrestleGennonPod or YouTube.com/ForTheCollection, Facebook.com/WrestleGennonPod with 1D. And for the first time, we are live on Instagram over at WrestleGennonPod. That's with 2Ds as well. So make sure you check us out there on one of those spots. Go ahead and join us. Leave some comments, join in on the conversations, all that fun stuff. Got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Mm-hmm. So let's kick it off here. Of course, you all know us by now. If you don't, my name is Chris the Heat Matthews, and I'm joined by your other co-hosts, the Tennessee Jesus, Carl Crossland. Carl, how's it going?
It's going all right, man. Just been visiting our brother Garrett in the hospital. He's still recovering from jumping off that fucking balcony.
Oh, man, eventually he's going to learn.
Hey, can't try this at home.
That's the thing, though. Like, he keeps watching all those superhuman videos, and he's jumping off balconies through freaking plywood tables with light tubes and barbed wire on them.
Damn.
Jumping onto refrigerators and microwaves, and I'm surprised he hasn't ruptured his spleen yet.
No. But he will learn one of these days.
One of these
days. And we're hoping to get him back on the podcast soon. Maybe for WrestleMania or something.
Hopefully.
If he can stay alive.
If he can stay alive. Oh, awesome. All right. So get well soon to our brother Garrett. It's going to bring us over to the Randall Band. Awesome. And Randall Band is the Doobie Brothers. The Doobie Brothers. It's been a long, long time since I've listened to the Doobie Brothers.
Hey, they still come on every once in a while on like OVs and stuff. I was kind of inspired by Bray Wyatt for mine.
Okay.
So like I'm trying to be like a kind of like a southern like backwoods swamp river type guy, and I decided to go with Blackwater.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool. I went with Don't You Mess With Me.
That's a good one. That's a good one for intro.
Awesome. All right. So what we got for next week?
We haven't done the Killers yet, right?
We have not.
So we have the Killers.
Garrett's going to be kind of sad for missing that one.
I know. He's probably going to be like a, I don't know, they probably come out to, somebody told me that you had a boyfriend who looked like the girlfriend that I had in February of last year.
That would not surprise me at all. Oh, man. And the surprising thing is the Killers are like Christian rock, too.
I guess technically.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Technically. Oh, awesome. All right. So this week was the Doobie Brothers. Next week, we've got the Killers. And now it's time for the Elite Figure of the Week. Right. And this week's Elite Figure of the Week is brought to you by EntertainmentEarth.com. Head on over there and use the code FPCollect at checkout and save 10% on all your in-stock items. Man, I'm slurring tonight. You think I was drinking, but I have not been drinking today. Aside from Mountain Dew, though. So, I don't know.
I think it's a Debbie, man.
Yeah, I guess so. But Elite Figure of the Week this week is the Elite 58. Is that 58? Yes. Elite Series 58, Mickie James. Can't even remember what I put on here. Her last WWE figure in more of a, I don't know if it was like a current attire or like a throwback attire, kind of both around that time frame. That's her last WWE run.
Looks kind of like Young Bucks.
It's pretty damn close. Pretty damn close. It's pretty cool. This one I could not find.
Is that the throwback title?
Yeah, it is the women's title, which it's kind of like, it's not like the younger Mickie James face. It's like a little bit older, but she's got the women's title and like an older ring attire. So I'm not sure what they were going for with that one. Because usually if it's a flashback, they'll label it as a flashback in these older Elite sets.
Yeah. Maybe they messed up a bunch of like Macho Man Randy Savages and decided to make a woman figure out.
Yeah, maybe. So here we go. So that is the your Elite figure of the week this week. Which is gonna bring us not to No Holds Barred, and I clicked the wrong one.
Damn, Chris, what are we doing tonight, brother?
We're live.
Welcome in bed.
It's the instant replay. Brought to you of course by W. Head over to W.GG to order your energy drink mixes and your hydration mixes. So WrestleGeddon with TVs at checkout. Give yourself an additional 10% on your order. Yes, let's get ready to rumble. All right, let's kick it off here with some news from outside of the ring. I guess this one kind of does fall under AEW news, but apparently Tony Khan, going around, Tony Khan still upset with Jack Perry about losing CM Punk. Still blaming Jungle Boy for that.
Cool. I mean, to me, it don't have nobody to blame but itself. Like, he's the one that fucking fired him and went to his trusted board of directors or whatever.
But he did have a lot of praise for Jack Perry on his current New Japan run. He recently joined House of Torture. So, and he's been doing.
Is he still under contract with AEW?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, so he just like sent him to another country to wrestle.
Yep, kind of like what they did with David Schultz.
Yeah,
I'm just slapping the reporter. There you go. You're going to Japan for a little bit. Maybe we'll end up cutting them loose in a little bit here, but who knows?
Yeah, I haven't seen any of his Japan work.
I haven't either, aside from that debut that he did where he ripped up his AEW contract and he cut his promo calling himself the scapegoat. So, and tearing up the New Japan Cup.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of I take it a lot back. I was a fan of Jurassic Express when they first came out.
Yeah.
Kind of like that first couple of years. And then when they try to go heel and they split them up, it didn't make sense for me.
Not a fan of the heel portion of that. I mean, maybe if they kept them as a tag team, maybe. But
no, because his whole thing was like he was over with the crowd. Like, that was the thing. It was like, oh, he's babyface over with the crowd. I just like, other than that, he's not that great nerd.
That's the downfall, is they splitting them up.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. But. Awesome. All right, on to some other bitter news for the week. Ronda Rousey with her book. I think it's Our Story is the name of the book. Or Our Fight or something like that. basically in a book calls WWE a shit show. Says people are talent is held captive. And says she will never return to WWE. Like, I'm getting like Ryback vibes from Ronda Rousey with all this bitterness.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, she didn't get her way. The ship kind of sailed. I mean, don't get me wrong, she probably still get like a pop just because she's Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
But she kind of went stale, you know, like everybody does. Like, if you're not an actual entertainer, you can't reinvent yourself or put together stories that make people invested in you. It's hard to keep momentum going. And I think, you know, when everything was handed to her here the last time, she kind of was upset by it. But yeah, I remember like Bianca was on fire. Of course, you know, you had Charlotte Flair and Bayley. A lot of these women that put in a lot of effort in that company, you know, are at the top because, you know, they put in work and can have a compelling storyline, unlike her. So,
she also, also in the book, she says that a lot of the higher up executives created the backstage area, created more of a, excuse me, created like a casting couch environment for the female talent.
So did she, was she asked to sleep with somebody or?
I guess it falls along the sex trafficking stuff with Vince and Laurinaitis. She, in her book too, she goes in on Laurinaitis talking about how NXT was rolling and then Triple H, you know, had his health issues and Laurinaitis took over and they changed stuff up a bit. And then, instead of hiring the wrestlers and all that, they went and, you know, people that had talent to help boost the brand. She was saying that Laurinaitis went to another direction of hiring talent, specifically women that were fuckable. Were fuckable.
So. Okay.
I can kind of, I can, with all the other stuff that's kind of come out with that, with, like the reason why Ember Moon Athena left was because they wanted her to dress like Mandy Rose. And she said she didn't want to do that. So that's part of the reason why she asked for her release or didn't resign.
Yeah. I mean, some of it I can believe. It's just like when you throw an accusation out there, like casting couch.
Yeah.
And then if you saw like or observed it and like, you know, didn't say anything didn't and say was anything. Happy taking money from, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
That's what I don't get about like, a lot of these people throwing accusations. Like, okay, like if this is something you saw and you didn't say nothing, because I mean, she was a pretty prominent figure in the company. Like, she was high up on the card and stuff. So, you know, you should have ring that bell instead of taking the money.
Yep. Well, she apparently just wanted the money.
Yeah.
From what it looks like to me.
Yeah.
There's something else I forgot to put in the notes to jump over to real quick before move on here. Did you see the snippet from a Goldberg interview?
Did I see a snippet from a Goldberg interview?
Yeah, talking about his streak.
Is like recent?
Yeah, it was recent. This was the excerpt from the thing was posted today, this morning. Let me see. Let me got it right here. He's on some podcast, wrestling podcast, doing an interview, and they're asking him about his streak, and he said, well, he said, a girl beat my winning streak, beat my undefeated streak. I can't even remember. He called her Asuka. Asuka was her name. Some Japanese girl, and they touted her as being the one to have the longest winning streak. And it just so happened that culminated when I got there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, he went on to say, and then it just so happened that every single wrestler uses a spear in their moves, right? Pretty ironic that it happened when I got there. He's like, and then they asked him something else, what caused friction between Goldberg and WWE?
He said, it's the fact I didn't get along with, you know, Vince's son-in-law, I think had everything to do with it when I got there.
Yeah. I mean, I could see all that. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, everybody kind of has their truth in the matter. The whole spear thing, I mean, like, he did make the spear kind of popular. I've seen other people do it. Yeah. And they were doing it long before WWE. Like, Rhino was using it in ECW. Edge used it in WWF. Edge might have used it before Goldberg did. I don't know. You have to see who debuted first.
No, Edge didn't start really using it till later. Like, after, I think, one of the times he was out injured and came back, he started using it.
Okay.
But that was after WCW was gone.
But that was before Goldberg came back, though, right?
Yeah, that was before Goldberg came to WWE, if I remember correctly.
I'd
be mistaken on that one.
I'm trying to... I don't say there's somebody else that I know he sees the spear quite a bit. But there's some people that use spears.
And there's a lot of people that make it look better than Goldberg's. Like Moose.
Goldberg, yeah. Yeah, Moose has a good spear. Goldberg had a pretty good spear. I like his a lot better than Edge's. Because, like, Edge's was, like, so skinny. Trying to do a damn spear.
But on top of that, too, like, Goldberg's spear wasn't his finish. His finish was the jackhammer.
Jackhammer, yeah, I know.
The spear was the setup for the jackhammer, so I don't know why he's complaining, because it wasn't even his finish.
Yeah, I mean, it was a thing with their move. I mean, maybe like somebody doing a Superman punch, you know.
Yeah.
But at least the Superman punch is lame as hell. I mean, it's original, but it's fucking lame.
Regarding the streak, too, he tweeted in 2017. He said, the streak is in very good hands. Congrats. You know, retweeting Asuka. She tweeted, I respect Goldberg. Let me pull up the full tweet here.
Yeah, he may not have been the one that tweeted it, though, or it could have been PR.
Yeah, it might have been someone. But Scott Hall responded to Asuka's tweet, and he said, you're 100 times the wrestler Goldberg ever was.
Yeah, and him not getting along with Triple H. I mean, I could believe that, because Triple H was part of the clique, and
yeah,
Kevin Nash and Scott Hall didn't care for Goldberg too much, because he was more of like an Eric Bischoff project.
Like WCW, like 96, 97. I was a big Goldberg fan. Like, it was cool seeing him destroy people, and it's like less than a minute. But Goldberg in WWE, no. Like, I was not thrilled when he came in. Like, the first run, second run, third run, it just...
The first run, I wasn't too, like, upset with the his first time coming in the WWE. Like, it was... I mean, it wasn't, like, you know, 1997 Goldberg or 98, yeah, whenever he came out. But I still, like, kind of, you know, like the idea they were able to bring him in hot. WCW, they kind of did fuck him over with him losing the streak. Like, they should have kept it going a little bit more, maybe, in my opinion. You know, it's one of those things where the same thing with Ronda Rousey. It's like you was handed a pot of gold. It's up to you to hold everybody captive, and that's one thing that Goldberg hasn't been able to do. He was a pretty popular name, like Ronda Rousey, but in like a long storyline or something like that, you can't get that out of him. And that's just why he didn't find success in WWE and later in his career once the streak ended, because, you know, you gotta... You can come back for one night or two nights and you'll get a big pop, but to do that on a consistent basis is something different.
Yeah. How did that? So Goldberg's streak was 461 days.
It's not like days or matches.
This says days on here when I'm looking at.
Oh, days, I don't know. I think it was going by matches, but some people were saying that they were like going back and looking at it and they were kind of inflated. Like, you know, they would show up and be like, oh, yeah, he's 38. And he only had like 20 matches or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
it looks like they're looking at like title. Because this one has, because it's got Asuka on here and it's 510 days. But they're referring to the NXT title.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, just like Hogan is 1,474 days as, you know, WWE champion.
I thought the streak was going off of undefeated. Like,
yeah, that's what
never lost a match.
That's what I just Googled was undefeated. Maybe I should do
undefeated streak or something.
Yeah, I did undefeated streak and longest undefeated streak in pro wrestling, but that it brought up title matches.
Well, but both of them won titles like within their streak.
Yeah, but that's what they're counting the days for the title matches, not the actual
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, technically, Asuka have lost matches in Japan. She wasn't undefeated. She was an undefeated WWE, but...
Yeah, coming at, like, starting off in her WWE career, she had the longest. She was undefeated.
Yeah.
Right up front. One of the main roster stuff. That doesn't tell me much either. Because talking like someone like Andre the Giant who went 15 years before he actually got pinned. And that was against Hogan. So.
No, he lost, man. He lost. That was another thing. That was kind of. Well, not on WWE. He's lost matches and. Gotten beat before. He's been body slammed before. It was just kind of hyping up that match. It was like Hogan beating an unbeatable force. But yeah, he had the loss. Andre the Giant by no means was like undefeated when he versed Hogan. It was kind of on the downside of his career too.
Yeah, he said, that's just here. He was undefeated for nearly 15 years, booked and sold as an unstoppable giant who was incapable of losing a match. So he didn't get his first loss until he wrestled Hogan.
Hey, are you looking at WWE stuff or because he wrestled in a bunch of territories?
Yeah, this is off of a Sportster. Despite technically losing a few matches outside of WWF, his near 15-year streak is still remembered as being intact.
Well, maybe that's incorrect, but I thought, listening to older wrestlers talk, people have said that he lost a bunch of matches. Is this in WWE, they built him as that later on in his career, but he had lost matches that territory shows and stuff.
That could be true too. It's just kind of hard to say because you don't know what's true.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe that he went 15 years undefeated, but
yeah,
like how many world title reigns is he having? That
not many.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like. You know, so
awesome. All right, let's hop over to the next thing we got here, the Bray Wyatt documentary. They started showing commercials for this Looks like it's going to be hosted by Bo Dallas. That's going to drop on April 1st. I'm excited for this. This actually looks pretty cool. They showed off a lot of his stuff, like the different masks and some other things that they had. And they also showed this concept for a new Fiend attire that was supposed to be debuting. I don't know if you can see it, but they kind of, the mask looks completely different. So it's kind of like a, like the mouth is all like busted up. Like the flesh is like peeled back from the teeth. The banner is the Fiend, like the old look for the Fiend instead of the Bray Wyatt head. So, but it looks pretty cool, especially that mask, like the new details and stuff on the mask. I'm just excited to see some of the stuff that they may have had planned for him to come back with.
Yeah.
That's going to be, it's going to be a hard documentary to watch. I can honestly say that.
Definitely going too soon.
So we had that, and then we also had the latest video from Dreadmare, which this one really hyping up the re-debut of Alexa Bliss on Raw. Actually had her doing voiceover on here. A lot more images of her, a lot more glimpses of her. So she is definitely coming back soon. My guess is after WrestleMania, because I don't see her, I don't see them bringing her back before Mania without having
something already.
Unless she comes back at Mania and gets involved in one of the Titans and Ripley and Becky.
Yeah.
That could be a possibility too.
Or maybe she sabotages Cody.
We'll see. I'm excited for Bliss to come back.
You know, it could be one nightmare. And it's on Elm Street, not the American Nightmare.
Oh, and awesome. And Monday Night Raw this past week was right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Matt Hardy decided to go to Raw. And created quite a buzz for himself there, sitting in the skybox with his wife, Rebby.
I thought that was Bishop at first.
Oh, no. That's just some random kid. Him and his wife are there in the skybox. Fans started noticing that he was there and started lining up during Raw to get pictures with Matt.
That's pretty cool.
So but his contract with AEW is coming up in the next few weeks, so it kind of makes you wonder if he was there talking with Triple H about
it. Or he could have just, he's a wrestling fan. Visiting. He could have been.
Yep. Yeah. I could have been there visiting. Shane Hurricane's one of his good friends. He's a producer. So same thing. You know, we got Jamie Noble, a whole bunch of other guys that he's friends with that are backstage there. They could have been visiting. He could have been, like I said, talking to Hunter. He could have been just there to enjoy the show, because he has been known to pop up for random independent shows across the state too. So just to be in attendance and watch the shows. So I thought that was pretty cool, and almost went too. We talked earlier that day about going, like that we weren't going and stuff, but I got curious and I checked SeatGeek and I found tickets for like $6.
Oh man.
Almost bit the bullet. Would have been $16 with the fees, but then I would have to pay another $30 as the park at the fucking PNC Arena parking lot.
Yeah, PNC needed
do better. PNC, I don't need to pay $30 to park my car there. It's freaking ridiculous. But it was pretty cool to see Matt still get a buzz. Like I said, I know we've talked about it before, but anytime they're doing a signing in the area, they still have quite the line. So Hardys are still as popular as ever, especially in the great state of North Carolina.
For sure.
All right. Awesome. All right. So that's going to bring us over to Monday Night Raw, some WWE stuff. Have you noticed the new stuff they've been doing for production?
What do you mean new stuff?
It's like when they go to a commercial, like, I know you watch the short version on Hulu, but when they do a commercial break after a wrestler's made their entrance, They'll put like this graphic on the screen of like the wrestler in different action poses. Then they'll put their name on there. And then they'll do a commercial after that. So that's something new that they've been doing the last few months or the last, I'd say like 2 months. And then this past Raw, after Sammy's promo, the camera followed him to the back.
Like, yeah, I've seen that.
Back right to Miz, R-Truth, and DIY. And that's something new that they started doing too. Especially like more of focusing on like the rest, like some of the wrestlers as they're coming in. I know they've done that before in the past, but they've kind of like done it more, been doing it more recently than than they have been. But with the Sammy thing, you know, they follow, like I said, they followed him all the way back, and you had R-Truth and DIY standing there talking, then the Miz, and then of course Indus Sheer came up, and then they followed, then it went right into Miz and R-Truth going out for their entrance to the ring. So it was like a whole like nice fluid production thing that actually looked really cool. So it's kind of more of like gives you that like sports, the more like
I see
feel to it. So.
Yeah, I've seen that, or like more like Into the Universe, like
So I thought that was pretty cool. I wanted to make a note of that. It's just something new. Something
different, so. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Hopefully, they
as far as like commercial breaks and stuff, like. I don't know if I've paid that much attention to the commercial breaks.
So, awesome. All right. Now, speaking of DIY and Awesome Truth, they both won their qualifying matches for the six-pack challenge. I think that's what it was. Was it a six-pack challenge?
Six-pack.
So both those teams are going. I was mistaken when we said Legado del Fantasma was heading to WrestleMania. I was incorrect on that one. It's actually OC and A-Town down Under are wrestling this week. And it looks like A-Town Down Under picked up the win. It'll be going to Mania over OC. And I'm sure they have another match on SmackDown tonight too. Street Profits versus AOP. Street Profits picked up the win on AOP, so looks like they're going to Mania too. And I think there's one more tag match to go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who the... Yeah, because it was 3 for Raw, 2 for SmackDown. If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I can't... That's one of those things like I can't... like. Can't remember. I am kind of excited that the tag team wrestling, like actual tag teams, been pretty cool to see on WWE again.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just like Joe Schmo and Joe Schmo B. I think he froze up on me.
Same old teams over and over again.
Yeah.
We'll get to that here in a minute.
Yeah, my video keeps freezing. Sorry, I might have to hang up.
My internet.
No, is it your internet? I don't know if it's yours or mine, but one of us is freezing.
Switched it over, so it should be good now.
Okay,
yeah, it looks like we're good now. All right, one last thing here for some WWE stuff for the week. We'll move into AEW. Slammy Awards are back. Yeah, buddy.
That's pretty cool. Speaking of Slammy Award, what did you think about the Cody promo?
The Cody promo was good.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's pretty good.
I like the Jay and Jimmy segment too, and then you know you have Cody Rhodes come out and save him. But the Cody promo was pretty good because, like, to be like all honesty, like the whole like situation, like I hadn't cared for it too much. It did cast it like Cody was being a crybaby. After that promo on Monday, man, I kind of bought into it. Like he had a pretty good promo. You know what I mean? Like that was pretty good. That's good.
Yeah.
I like it too when he come up. Wouldn't say nothing bad about The Rock's mom.
Yeah. I mean, you can't say nothing bad about The Rock's mom though. Like that's like one of those things. Like
The
Rock don't give a shit. He'll talk smack about your mom all day long.
Yeah.
As a wrestler, and especially someone like Cody who knows The Rock's mom, you know, and I'm sure you know Dusty was close to that whole family. Like you can't really say anything bad about her. So, oh man, that's one of those things. All right, Slammy Awards. These are happening. You can actually start voting now. Head over to WWE.com. These are going to be announced. The winners will be announced on April 7th on WWE social media platforms from the. WWE World at WrestleMania, so we'll get the winners, the fan vote winners that day. So the category, the first one's Female Superstar of the Year, which is Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Bayley, Io Sky, and Becky Lynch.
Rhea Ripley probably won that.
I mean, if that doesn't go to Rhea, I don't know what these fans are watching because we're not watching the same product. excuse me. Male Superstar of the Year, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, Seth freaking Rollins, Gunther, and Logan Paul.
Gunther, but if they're leaving it up to popular vote, Logan Paul probably would.
Yeah, or Cody.
Logan Paul has like enough people that don't follow wrestling that if he asks them to vote for him on his podcast, they'll probably.
Yeah. Probably. I can see that happening too, which I'll be mad about that. Logan's had some great matches and a lot of great moments since he's been with WWE. Best entrance, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, Bianca Belair, Seth Rollins, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch, The Rock, or Dominic Mysterio from WrestleMania 39.
It's got to, if they don't pick fucking That's the best fucking entrance in like fucking forever, dude.
Oh man, I'm voting for that one. Oh man, you cannot.
Cody would probably win, or Seth, because you know the fan interaction. They have a lot of fans, but
a lot of their music.
Yeah, but that Dominic Mysterio man was so great.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. You have Return of the Year. CM Punk, The Rock, Nia Jax. I don't even know why that's on there. Ain't nobody voting for that one. Randy Orton and Naomi. Unfortunately, Naomi's didn't hit as well as it should have for a return at the Rumble. Still a great return.
I think it hit pretty good. I can remember. I thought she had a pretty good pop.
She did, but not compared to CM Punk returning at Survivor Series. But mainly because that was in Chicago.
Yeah, and that was a huge ass surprise.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody cares enough about The Rock.
The Rock, I think when he came back, he did get a pretty good
pretty good pop.
It wasn't until, you know, was it like a week or two afterwards?
Yeah.
After everybody start crying. Cody Crybaby.
Yep. Faction of the Year, Judgment Day, Alpha Academy, Imperium, The Bloodline, and Damage Control. Judgment Day's been killing it. Like more than the other factions have. So me personally, like Judgment Day is the way to go.
Yeah.
Rivalry of the Year, Seth Rollins versus McIntyre, Dominic Mysterio versus Rey Mysterio, Bianca versus Damage Control, Roman versus Cody, and R-Truth versus Judgment Day.
I don't know if I would have went with any of those.
Yeah. If I have to pick one, I'm picking R-Truth and Judgment Day.
Yeah.
That was probably like the most entertaining stuff that they've done in a while. Man, they got a lot of stuff on here. The next one is NXT Superstar of the Year. You've got Dragunov, Carmelo Hayes, Lyra Valkyria, Tiffany Stratton, and Bron Breakker. Match of the Year, Bad Bunny versus Damian Priest, the San Juan Street Fight. Reigns versus Sami Zayn from Elimination Chamber last year. Gunther versus Chad Gable. Asuka versus Bianca versus Charlotte from SummerSlam. And Charlotte versus Ripley from WrestleMania 39.
I'll go Charlotte Ripley.
Yeah, that was a really good match.
Or Gunther Gable.
Gunther and Gable was phenomenal, and that should have been a WrestleMania match. Yeah. That's what we should be getting at Mania.
Are you thinking they're gonna go heel with Gable or no? Because he's kind of like pissy towards Sammy.
I could see that happening. Maybe he just like snaps and just beats the shit out of Sammy, and then they end up making a threat match.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
All right.
We got the OMG moment of the year. Rey Mysterio punches Dominic. CM Punk returns. Io Sky cashing in the Money in the Bank. The Rock slaps Cody. Damage Control turns on Bayley. Cody slaps The Rock.
They're really trying to book WrestleMania.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know about this one. Like, I'd probably say OMG moment would have to be either Punk or Io cashing in the Money in the Bank. Those are the two that stand out the most. Let's see what else we got here. We got Social Star of the Year, Grayson Waller, Logan Paul, Drew McIntyre, Chelsea Green, and Liv Morgan. Apparently that might be something to do with their social media. And Breakout Superstar of the Year, Jey Uso, Tiffany Stratton, Pretty Deadly, Dragon Lee, and L.A. Knight. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. This has me missing Owen Hart, dude.
Oh, as far as like Breakout, I'd narrow it down to like Tiffany Stratton or LA Knight.
Yeah, LA Knight probably would be my pick. But somebody definitely has to like start coming out with theirs, like Owen Hart did when he won his.
Yeah, bring back.
Is it like a title or something?
Oh,
yeah. Award winner.
All right. So those are up for voting now. Like I said, just hit up head over WWE.com. Should be like right there on the main page. So you can start voting for those categories. Let's hop over to some AEW stuff. I don't have a lot. Just some stuff I picked out from the 3 hours of AEW we had on Wednesday night. So we got Dynamite Rampage. Mercedes promo was really flat.
It has been.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we'll hear from Mercedes Moné tonight. Like, we just heard from her last week. What she got to say this week? And it pretty much was like the same shit as the week before, except throwing CEO in every other word.
Yeah. It's like, dude, just like come out and hit somebody. That's
nice person. I was hoping to God Willow was going to hit her with that chair.
Yeah.
And I like Mercedes. Like, I do.
I do. But I do. I do too.
I like Willow more. Deck her with the chair, Willow.
I mean, I like Mercedes more, but like, you know, she needs to get on the ball, get something rolling.
Yeah, they need to do something with her. I have a feeling they'll probably build up her and Willow for Dynasty. It seems like what they're
doing. Should be good.
That should be a good match. They're the match they had for the New Japan Strong Women's title was actually pretty good. So
yeah.
We'll see where we go from there. The other thing here, we kicked off the show, the first match, after the Mercedes promo, like the three or four matches they had on Dynamite. Everything else is freaking promos. Nope, not that. Okada.
Yeah.
Winning the Continental Championship.
Yeah. It's an all right match. You know, about as good as the match you're going to have with Eddie Kingston. But
you think it was
I kind of like a title? No, never too soon. And actually, it's like what they probably should have done. You know, it was given the belt to begin with. Adds legitimacy to the title.
Okay, Eddie Kingston having it, because now you have. Let's be honest, like, your casual fan's not going to know who Eddie Kingston is. They're not going to know who Okada is. So as far as, like, your hardcore wrestling base, Okada is a bigger name than Eddie Kingston. You put this title on a bigger name like Okada, then you're getting more name recognition on that title.
Yeah. Oh. And I'm going to say I love the Elite Okada.
Yeah.
Like, showing up in the fucking car.
Yep.
I can deal without the Young Bucks, but if I have to deal with them to get this version of Okada, I'll take it.
I kind of torn on the Young Bucks EVP thing. Like, if they weren't still being goofy about it and they acted more serious with it,
yeah,
I could get behind it. But they're still doing like that dumb shit. Like, oh, you didn't say our names correctly. We're fining you $1,000. Like, are you serious? Like, come on, be more serious in this role. You're supposed to be
EVPs,
like,
yeah. But Okada, like, rolling up in the fucking car, dude. I was like, this is badass. I like it.
Because when you think Okada, like, his run, almost his entire run in New Japan has been a face run. So you get him, he shows up on Dynamite, and boom, all of a sudden he's a heel. Like, nobody was expecting that. You know, props to Tony Khan and, you know, the Bucks and Okada for rolling with us. This is like when he joined the NWO, pretty much.
Yeah. The only thing that could make this better, dude, and I swear to God, like, I don't know, is Sonny Ono still alive?
Sonny Ono? Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Dude, if they could get Sonny Ono in to manage him with this fucking gimmick, dude, that would be the fucking, like, best thing. Like, I don't care what money you have to spend, Tony Khan. Get fucking Sonny Ono to manage Okada and just call him the Elite. Make him the face of the faction or whatever. This is what you need right there.
Yeah, he is still alive. 61 years old.
Yeah,
we need Sonny Ono. I mean, he still does. He does appearances. He's been doing appearances with Ultimo Dragon, doing signings and stuff, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, because, like, when you think of Sonny Ono, like he's most synonymous with Ultimo Dragon.
Yeah. But, I mean, you think of, like, the, you know, rich Japanese guy.
Yeah.
Like, kind of fits the
originator of the selfie.
Yeah.
Before it was a selfie. Oh man, Sonny Ono was awesome. But I agree with that. I think they should bring Sonny Ono in. Awesome. All right, let me skip back to this. I should have put this slide after the Okada one. They showed this off last week after we recorded. It kind of dropped over the weekend. And they did the one of the first wild card matches, which was the Best Friends versus the Don Callis family on Dynamite this week, which the Don Callis family won. So they'll be moving into the brackets to take on Undisputed Kingdom. Or no, Best Friends won. Sorry, misspoke. So Best Friends will go in and they'll be taking on Undisputed Kingdom. Then on Collision, is it Collision or Dynamite this week are coming up? I can't remember. House of Black will be taking on the Infantry, which are pretty synonymous here in North Carolina with a few of the local Raleigh-Durham wrestling promotions. I don't see Infantry getting into the tournament because it doesn't make sense because they're a face tag team and you have the House of Black. So essentially what this tournament's going to end up being is the Bucks versus Private Party, Undisputed Kingdom, and Best Friends, Starks and Big Bill, Top Flight, FTR, and House of Black. So there's not really any new blood in the tag team in this chase for the tag team titles.
Yeah.
Like the only ones really that are in here are Private Party. Private Party and Top Flight. They've had title matches, but they've never held the tag team titles.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know. I mean, to me, you gotta push FTR here.
Yeah.
They didn't take too many losses, you know, in this company. If they don't win here, like, I hope whenever their contract's up, they sign with somebody else.
Yep. I'm kind of hoping, like, it ends up being FTR versus the Young Bucks in the finals. Like, if that's the way they're going to go, then at least give me something we know that's going to be a really good match.
Yeah.
As much as I don't want to see the Young Bucks win the tag titles. But it's going to happen. What else we got? The last man standing match, Adam Copeland and Christian Cage was pretty solid for the TNT championship.
Very solid. Really good match. I kind of love that they incorporated like the hockey theme and then this.
Oh, of course.
Christian Cage in the Pittsburgh Penguins jersey, and then we had Adam Copeland with the I thought it was a pretty good match. The pace wasn't too crazy.
Body, you know what I mean? Like, it was a good match between the both of them.
Yeah. I liked it. I liked the handcuff spots in there where they cuffed everyone to the ropes. And then Copeland wailing Christian like 3-4 times in the balls with the spike 2x4.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool. I liked when they flipped the ladder upside down. And then like the suplex onto the courts of the ladder. That was pretty cool.
A lot of cool stuff in that matchup. And so then we get that. We get that last man standing match where, you know, Copeland gets the TNT title. And then our main event for Rampage is Willow and Chris Statlander taking on Julia Hart and Sky Blue in a no DQ match.
Yeah, I didn't make it that far.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Julia Hart, Sky Blue, one of them got suplexed on the thumbtacks, or Statlander got suplexed on the thumbtacks. Sky Blue was busted open. It was a good match, like, between the four of these. Like, you could tell, like, the beef that they've had between them, and they told a really good story in the ring. It was a great, great matchup between the four.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. All right. Chugging right along here. I don't have anything for Impact. Other promotions, we talked last week about Shayna Baszler showing up for GCW during WrestleMania weekend. It's been announced that she'll be taking on Masha Slamovich.
Oh.
That
sounds
so good. So that should be a hell of a match right there. That's probably worth the price of the pay-per-view itself. That should be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. And something else to look forward to here in April, Mickie James presents her. This is happening in Australia with OPW, which is Oceania Pro Wrestling in Australia. They have like a whole weekend of events going on. They've got like an Australian Stampede, which is presented by Bret Hart. They've got Mickie James, It's Her, which is like the big thing because we're getting like an all women show again. This one, the card on this looks pretty stacked. You've got TNA Knockouts World Championship match, Jordan Grace versus Delta, Mickie James versus Vix Crow, formerly Alicia Fox, the Triple A Reina de Reinas Championship, Flammer versus Steph DeLander versus Jody Threat, Tennille Dashwood versus Jessica Troy, OPW Women's Championship, Erica Reed versus Lizzie Evo, OPW Women's Tag Team Championship, which Bull Nakano will be presenting the titles, PPK versus Backslide Girls, and you have Lisa Marie Varon's six-pack challenge where the winner will receive a OPW Women's title shot. Talent announced for this so far is Lena Cross, Tarly, Aisha, and Charlie Evans. There's still two more names to be announced on here. Pretty awesome lineup for that. And on top of that, they're doing like a whole StarCast thing with appearances by Bret Hart, Mickie James, Eric Bischoff, Powerhouse Hobbs, Kushida, Josh Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, Gangrel, whole lot of stuff going on here. So Australian fans, April, you guys are in for quite the treat there.
Yeah.
That looks pretty awesome.
The last pay-per-view that Mickie James put on,
the Empower pay-per-view, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, looking forward to that. That's going to be pretty awesome. So, big props to Mickie James for that one. So. All right, what else we got here? That's pretty much that. All right, now it's time for No Holds Barred. Oh, all right, Carl. Whole lot of movie trailers dropped this week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Beetlejuice 2.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Romulus. So like two of the big ones there. Roadhouse dropped on Amazon. New Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal. Yeah, I watched the preview for it, and apparently Gyllenhaal is like an MMA fighter. So, and it's got Conor McGregor in it as like the main guy he fights. So, like, oh, stupid. Oh, so bad. So bad. But that Beetlejuice. What's that?
It's one of the ones that I feel about the world. Yeah, the Beetlejuice, when I first saw it, kind of. I remember, like, you know, hearing like they were working on it, but when I first saw it, I thought, like, oh, they're advertising Wednesday season 3 or whatever. And then I was like, oh, no, it's something different. And then it was like, oh, it's Beetlejuice.
I wasn't in the router, but.
Yeah. Well, thankfully they waited 36 years to make a sequel for this, because the original concept for Beetlejuice 2 was Beetlejuice going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I probably don't like it. Beetlejuice is like, I like the movie. I watched the cartoon.
I had some of the toys.
Yeah.
Those are pretty fun. that little the vanishing crypt thing where you put like the one Beetlejuice character in, you pull the thing around, then it flips over and it's like turns into another character or just disappears or whatever. I thought it was pretty cool. Oh, sorry, folks, if you're watching this on Instagram, looks like we got cut off. Apparently, they cut us off after an hour.
Okay. It might be one of those platforms where you have like a certain amount of power.
Like certain things.
Yeah. Let's see if it'll go back to live. I don't know. So maybe we won't do Instagram anymore. That's kind of crap.
The movies I watched, Ricky Stenicki.
Ricky Stenicki.
He is hilarious.
Carl, your mic keeps popping in and out. Nah, that still sounds kind of like tin canny.
Better or no?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. Okay.
So you watch Ricky Stenicki?
Sure. Yeah, watch Ricky Stenicki. Cracked up the whole time. it's pretty hilarious. And then something that's kind of equally hilarious, we talked about it a little bit last week, the Bad Friends podcast, the one that Andrew Santino, the redheaded guy, he does a podcast with Bobby Lee, and it's kind of like Bobby Lee interviewing the cast of the movie. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I remember talking about one of the clips on there from last week, which is pretty good. Awesome stuff there. That Alien Romulus trailer kind of got me excited for aliens again. Like, there's an actual alien in it. So,
yeah. I don't know. I've never been huge into. I watched like the first couple movies, Aliens, and I seen Alien versus Predator, but never got like huge into it. Like a lot of people.
Yeah, the first two were good. The third and fourth ones are like meh. The two Alien versus Predator movies weren't bad. Yeah. Like they started doing like the Alien, was it like Prometheus or something like that? Checked out. I got to watch the first episode of X-Men 97. I will say if you were a fan of the original X-Men animated series, you will enjoy this one. It's right on par with that original series.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah, check out that second episode. So I dropped both of them this week on this past Wednesday. So both are up on Disney Plus. Just really great. So
the 90s, like, you know, looking back at it, dude, like as far as like comic book cartoons go, X-Men, Spider-Man, Batman, like, couldn't go wrong with all these animated series that we had.
Those were the good ones. Then you had the bad ones, like Iron Man, Silver Surfer, Fantastic Four, Incredible Hulk. Those were the crap ones.
Well, yeah, there were some bad ones, but, like, fucking...
The Hulk are bad at some good episodes, but overall,
yeah. I agree. Like, X-Men, Spider-Man, Batman, I'm sure I'm probably missing a few, but those Gargoyles, like, you could have fucking made like a fucking movie or something. I mean, those are pretty, like, they were top-notch writing and animation. Absolutely.
And I think that's what the biggest draw to it was, the stories for those shows, those cartoons. Because there really wasn't any cartoon that was dealing with a lot of that stuff. Because you look at mainly X-Men and Gargoyles, and a lot of what you're dealing with at the base of Gargoyles is pretty much Beauty and the Beast. Because Goliath ends up falling in love with Elisa. But then you also have that whole prejudice thing in there too, with the humans and the gargoyles. And you get that same thing with X-Men and, you know, the regular, like the non-mutants. You still have that prejudice thing in there, which is one of the big things that X-Men has dealt with, even in the comics.
Yeah.
And have cartoons like that that are dealing with that stuff. Like, we still don't have cartoons today that deal with those issues and are as prevalent as that.
Yeah.
Same thing, Batman Beyond. Great storytelling with that one.
Batman Beyond, Batman Beyond.
Static Shock was another one.
Static Shock.
Lots of good stuff out. Well, on streaming now, you can go back and watch it, but nothing really that great out there now. Aside from Craig of the Creek. I'm a big fan of Craig of the Creek.
Yeah. A lot of the animated Batman movies from the last 10 years went too bad.
Oh, no. No, they've been great. Awesome
stuff. Like the Red Hood was pretty good.
Yeah. I like the animated version. The Killing Joke was pretty good, too. That, the Long Halloween.
Yeah.
They're great movies out of some amazing stories. Oh, speaking of amazing, I don't know if this is amazing, but the last match, a pro wrestling Rock experience. Came across this today. So basically, it's a pro wrestling musical.
Yep.
So.
Starring Michael P.H. Hayes. Bad
Street. Let's see. So apparently they did this. I don't know if they did some of this stuff last year. I was kind of trying to read some of this here. Live shows at Jersey City. They sold out 4 shows in total. They had original soundtrack. Ensemble of Stars. Someone from Phantom of the Opera, Les Miserables, Funny Girl. Thunder Rosa recorded a song. Matt Cardona was in there as well. And I guess Afa Jr. and former NFC superstar Bull James. Did a lot of choreography for the in-ring stuff with some of like the non-wrestling talent. So, looks pretty interesting. They got like 9 shows lined up in Rochester, New York. So if you're anywhere up near that area, you can check that out. If you're a little closer to us, and a couple options here, Norfolk, Winston-Salem, and Columbia, South Carolina. Looks like they're hitting Burlington, Vermont, Albany, and Jamaica, New York, Philly. The 2300 Arena in Philly, so that'd be a good place to check that out if you're in that area. Baltimore. So not a whole lot of dates on there, really limited scheduling, but from the videos that they have up on their website, which you can check out as the lastmatch.com, you can check out some of the videos on there, so it actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, I remember that used to be a thing, man. Wrestlers would come up with songs and stuff. Like, Jerry King Lawler had an album. Exotic Alien Street album. Had an album. Fucking, Jimmy Valiant had an album, I think. Or at least a song.
Yeah. Oh man, so much stuff out there.
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff. All right. So there is that. Anything else for No Holds Barred?
I know you haven't been watching any college basketball or anything.
I have not. I'm sorry.
Hey. I'm kind of pulling for NC State this year. They did well in the ACC tournament. And I'd like to see them do well in the big tournament. You know, because I'm one of the Carolina fans here. So. It's happening now. It started yesterday. Going on today. That's why they did Dynamite and Collision on the same.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Because basketball.
Who is the worst team in here?
In what?
In the
that's March Madness, Kentucky. Kentucky was like a high team that lost. All the teams are really good. Like, you have to be good to make the tournament.
Well, I mean, yeah. So, like, Kentucky, like, out of the tournament?
Yeah, they're out of it. It's like one loss, you're out of the tournament. It's like,
oh, well, okay. So it's not a round robin thing.
No.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, nothing big happening in NFL free agency. Trying to think any other big news. I guess pretty much it. Draft's coming up in April. We can talk about that when it's closer. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for No Holds Barred.
All right. I don't have anything else. Like, that was just the big things for movies. I am going to see Ghostbusters on Sunday. So excited for that.
Okay.
It's going to be fun. I'll take the kids. Should be a good time. All right. So let's head over to best and worst of the week. Best worst of the week. Worst of the week for me, Mercedes Moné's promo. Dynamite this week. That was pretty bad. And probably the best, the Jimmy and Jay segment from Raw.
Alrighty. Me going with worst of the week, I think I'm going to have to go with Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho was
all. He had a match. He had a match with Hook and lost to a surprise roll up. And to add like insult to injury, the commentators were like, "Yeah, that's like got to be the first pinfall Hook has gotten in AEW."
was it a 24/7 title match? Roll up.
Yeah, surprise roll up, but most dangerous move in professional wrestling, I guess.
I didn't pay attention to that match at all. I think I fast forwarded through it. So.
Yeah,
wasn't Hook undefeated too?
Is Hook undefeated? I think he's lost. He's lost a couple matches now, hadn't he?
I think maybe tag matches.
He might be undefeated.
In singles matches. I don't even know, honestly.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I have to. I don't know. He might still be undefeated. He was undefeated for a while, I know. But he's still. And then the best of the week, I'm gonna go with Thunder Rosa. I don't know if you saw her. She's back. She's in a tag match. She got the pinfall on Toni Storm. So,
I think maybe
might be setting up a match for Dynasty.
I know Deonna wasn't happy with Thunder Rosa because Thunder Rosa kept
You had that, and like I said, she had a pinfall on Toni Storm. So there's a lot to do with the women's division. A lot of people in contention for the title. Let's get this ball rolling. Like I said, let's get Thunder Rosa versus Toni
Dynasty. Shit, give me a triple threat match with Toni, Thunder Rosa, and Deonna.
Yeah, that'd be cool too. But I kind of want to see Thunder Rosa versus Mercedes Moné.
That would be good.
Be pretty good.
Honestly,
I think.
As much as I like Mercedes, let me preface with that, I think that Thunder Rosa would embarrass her in the ring.
I don't think so.
That's just my opinion.
Mercedes Moné is a really good
Mercedes Moné is a good wrestler. I know she's a good wrestler, but Thunder Rosa's better. If Thunder Rosa can make Britt Baker,
I mean, Thunder Rosa's better than a lot of. Imagine Thunder Rosa with a better wrestler. You get a better match.
Absolutely.
Or talking about, you know, possible match of the year.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I would love to see it. Let's see it. What am I looking for? Oh, I'm on their AEW's roster page. I was looking for the freaking
Hooks record. If he's still a fucking undefeated, he needs to be number one contender for the fucking world title.
Okay. So he is 2024 overall. He's 5-4. Singles matches, he's 4-2. 1-0 in tag team and 0-1 in trios. Overall, he's 48-7.
Okay. Pretty impressive. So he ain't had a lot of losses, but
holy shit!
Did he have to get a win over Jericho? I don't know. But
man, Jay Lethal overall is 37-33.
Yeah,
freaking ridiculous.
But I think he's just having fun. I don't think he's trying to be like serious.
Danhausen, 13-8. this one's pretty good. Daniel Garcia is 52-52.
You got like that 52-52.
That's pretty good. There's a lot of like good records on here, like as far as like win loss for a lot of these guys. Pretty decent win loss records. Some of these guys haven't been on TV in God knows how long.
The Butcher, no, Butcher doesn't have a good record.
Probably not.
He got swerves. I don't know if you saw that one.
That was a Butcher.
Him and Swerve.
Scorpio Sky. Swerve is 49-21-1. Butcher 56-52. The Blade 63-58. How's the Butcher 0-1 in tag team competition and the Blade is 0-0? He must have a different
time. I don't know.
Oh, man. Awesome. Oh, all right. Well, that's going to do it for us for this week. Thank you guys for checking us out, as always. Make sure you guys hit us up on our social media platforms, facebook.com/WrestleGettinPod with 1D, youtube.com/ForTheCollection, where you can find us each and every Friday night, 9 p.m. live o'clock. 9 p.m. live o'clock.
Yeah. 5 o'clock. Yeah, baby.
5 o'clock. 9 p.m. every Friday, live on those two streaming platforms. I may keep Instagram going because it looks like it's still running. But I'm not sure how much is actually going to show up on there. I guess we'll, but the live feeds on Instagram don't stay. Once they're done, they're done. So we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah.
I'll try it again next week. So Instagram at WrestleGettinPod with 2 D's. You can find us on X, WrestleGettinPod with 1 D. And also check out redbubble.com/people/WrestleGettinPod with 1 D as well. There is actually a promo right now for Redbubble. Yeah, pull up my text messages here. It is up to 40% off.
That's not bad.
So you can get up to 40% off on select items. Free shipping on all stickers. So buy yourself some WrestleGun Podcast stickers and get free shipping. So good stuff there. Looks like they got about 35% off on t-shirts too. So get a nice WrestleGun Podcast t-shirt for $15. Oh, man, awesome. Whew, as I'm over here dying. Shout out to, as always, check out our friends over at The Call Up Podcast with Kenny and DJ every Thursday night live. On their Instagram at The Call Up and Facebook on The Call Up as well. And then our friends over at The Fig Cave, you can check them out on your favorite podcast apps as they drop new episodes every Thursday or Friday. Lots of cool stuff there if you're looking for some more wrestling figure or just general figure talk as well. And, of course, the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, where you can check out some more action figure talk also. So that's going to do it for us. Yes, check this out. I'm Chris the Heat Matthews. He's the Tennessee Jesus Carl Crossland. He's on there we go. Reversed. He's right there. So we'll check you guys next week. Later, Marks. Get well, Garrett.
Yep.
Stop jumping on refrigerators.